Nestled in a corner of Gravel Field near the intersection of MLK Boulevard and Hill Avenue in Fayetteville is a brown building. Spartan in its aesthetic, blink and you'll miss it. Since 2010, this was La La Land, a DIY venue with no frills and no barriers to anyone who wanted to see the bands or the art. The brainchild of Fayetteville artist Sam King. Now it's 2019. La La Land is closing, and King, now assistant professor of art at the U of A, has mixed feelings.
My joke is that I'm in the unique position of bulldozing myself. I've known that this is coming. I mean, the conversation has been moving that direction for years.
With nowhere to grow but south, last year the university bought the art experience from Joanne and Hank Kaminsky, for which La La Land once served as a studio space. By the end of the month, both the art experience and La La Land will be no more.
I modeled on this club down in Fort Smith. Everybody called it Ravies, but I mean, it was spelled like Ravi, like Ravi Shankar. To me, what a show was that. It was a space with a big PA, and it was all ages. There was no booze, no drugs, and you brought through bands that had some cachet. Years later, there's this band from Little Rock called The Thing That Always Explodes. And so they wanted to play a Fayetteville show. And at that moment in time, you know, this is almost 10 years ago now, but the only places you could play, the house venues were all shut. You know, the only option was bars. I just said, all right, well, let's just kind of clear everything out of my studio, kind of push it to the walls. And that'll make enough space that we can have, you know, 20 or 30 people come through and see you guys play. So that was kind of like a proto La La Land show. La La Land, it wasn't my initiative starting out completely. It was me and Stephanie Pierce. We both had studio spaces in the building where La La Land is. We also both had interest in live music and kind of weird, you know, DIY and experimental music, just kind of stuff that doesn't necessarily work at a bar. Where the bands would play is kind of like a giant drum. And then, you know, it's a concrete building, but the front facade is pretty thin. And it's a small space, so, you know, the dynamic you get into, like if you go to a big concert and like there's, you know, 1,000 or 10,000 people around you, that's a much different kind of mindset that you enter into than if you're surrounded by 10 or 15 or 20 people. Like if you decide that the show sucks and you want to leave, then everybody in the room feels that. You have real weight in an environment like that, you know? So I like the scale of the kind of DIY scene because it really puts a lot of power back in the hands of the individuals that participate in it.
Beyond live music, King and Pierce wanted a unique environment for art exhibitions.
There's sort of two hangable walls that you could think of as being the kind of walls you could hang, you know, paintings or artwork on, whatever. And then the back wall is kind of raw brick, cinder block. It's really beautiful. And I think context is kind of a big part of why the space was important, both to Stephanie and to me to do, was that it was a space where, you know, nobody had that much money tied up in it.
Booking at La La Land passed from person to person, but never slumped. In fact, shows grew more frequent. Michaela Hoffman, herself an art student at the university, has booked all shows at La La Land for the past year, but began by managing La La Land's idiosyncratic and minimalist approach to art exhibitions.
Just like two a month, four artists, like one work per piece. And it wasn't like, you know, grab your glass of wine, look at the art, and then chug your wine and leave. It was like, people would stay there and drink for hours and just hang out and talk. Really loved meeting all these touring bands and like making friends with people in a different part of the country that I like never would have met or really interacted with otherwise if I hadn't have booked them or like let them sleep in my living room and like showed them around Fayetteville the next day.
The current DIY scene is facing renewed pressure from a city whose rising rents often mean empty pockets. Earlier in 2019, downtown venue Stage 18 closed for good, with owner David Embry stating that he questioned, quote, whether the arts community can survive here without underwriting. La La Land's imminent demise at the hands of the university's School of Art seems to illustrate the race between safely bankrolled institutional art and DIY art, whose untethered nature welcomes experimentation, but can often struggle to eke out an existence.
Every time at La La Land, I never turn anybody away if they don't have the money.
My heart was in that space for years. It still is. I mean, I'm not as involved as I used to be, but I still book events there a little bit, and I still come to stuff. Things move in cycles, and so even if these spaces cease to exist, the need for them will continue to exist.
During the last 2-day like bang out show that we're doing at La La Land, I'm still going to take donations and use all that money to try to find another space and hopefully get another thing started here.
Whatever the case, there's still one place where La La Land will prove hard to remove.
I had my friend Amber tattoo the facade on my back. so I can always have it. It'll live on my back.
La La Land and the Art Experience's last hurrahs take place this weekend, with the Art Experience having a farewell on February 23rd and La La Land featuring marathon shows February 22nd and 23rd. More information is available through their respective Facebook pages. I'm Sumner Coy for the KUAF Arts Beat.